Last week, if you were here, you may remember that we spoke about the parable of the talents, and we discussed how God has invested certain talents, gifts, in every believer. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you have gifts, and how they're not all the same, but they all have great value in building up the kingdom of God. We also learned not to fall for the trap of comparing our gifts with the gifts of others, lest we fall prey to resenting them or even God himself. And how God expects every one of us to use the talents he has given us primarily for his glory. He expects a full return on his investment, and he is going to hold us accountable for it. We also learned how he will bless for eternity those who steadfastly use their gifts for his kingdom, telling us that the reward is greater than anything we could have ever asked or imagined for. We also learned how we only experience abundant life on earth when you're using your gifts for the glory of God. Today we're going to take a look at another parable that Jesus told. This one is entitled The Parable of the Weeds. We're going to start at verse 24 of Matthew 13, and it says this: Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from?" "An enemy did this," he replied. The servant asked him, "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" "No," he answered, "because while you are pulling the weeds, you may uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, 'First collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn.'" And if we read a little further down in the chapter, we will see the following: that the sower is Jesus. The good seeds are the sons and daughters of the kingdom. The enemy is the devil. The weeds are unbelievers. The harvest is the end of the age, and the angels are the harvesters. Now, the weeds in this story representing unbelievers that Jesus is referring to here is the darnel weed. Anyone ever heard of the darnel weed? I had never heard of it. In fact, though, several translations actually put that word in the text. So it's definitely the weed that he's referring to in this parable. Now, spreading darnel seed in someone's wheat field was not an uncommon practice in those days. Today, if you want to get back at somebody, you might hack into their Twitter account and post all kinds of unflattering things to ruin their reputation. In Jesus' day, if you really wanted to do something mean, you would sow or could sow darnel seed into somebody's wheat field, which is far worse than hacking into someone's social media account, because in doing so, you are messing with their food supply, which could be a matter of life and death. Now, here's what the American Heritage Dictionary says about the darnel seed. It says this: the bearded darnel, mentioned in Matthew 13, is a species of ryegrass, the seeds of which are strong, soporific poison. It bears the closest resemblance to wheat till the ear appears, and only then the difference is discovered. And it grows plentifully in Syria and Palestine. Now, three things to learn about the darnel weed. Number one, when it is growing, it mimics wheat. It's almost impossible to tell the difference. In using this illustration, Jesus is telling us that upon initial observation, it can be difficult to tell the difference between believers and unbelievers. According to the most recent Pew Research studies, 65% of Americans identify as Christian. That's over 200 million people identify as Christian. However, of this group, only 43% hold to a biblical worldview and say that God is the authority for absolute truth. So then what we have here in America is over half, 57% of those claiming to be followers of Christ do not hold to his word as absolute truth. What that calculates out to for all of society is that only 28% of us believe the Bible to be the infallible word of God and the final authority on all matters it addresses. So if you believe that, you are one out of four people. And only 5 to 7% of those people spend daily time in God's word, which just means that the vast majority of those who claim the Bible to be the absolute truth really don't even know what it says. This is why abortion, gender manipulation, and promotion of the gay agenda are thriving in our country today. If all those claiming to be Christian held to the Bible as absolute truth and immersed themselves in it, we would still be a Christian nation. We would still be the majority, and our laws would look a lot different concerning moral issues. But we're not, because most of those who are calling themselves followers of Christ in this country are actually Darnell. The second thing about Darnell is that the seeds of that weed that it produces are poisonous. Christian author Jerry Watts writes this: when ingested by humans and herbivores, Darnell causes severe symptoms similar to drunkenness and can even cause death. Now, just like with the Darnell weed, whose seed is poisonous, so is the counsel of false believers. It can be hazardous to your health and can even cause death, spiritual and physical. This is because false believers give advice on what they think is best out of this 3.5 pounds of gray matter, and not necessarily on what the Word of God says. Some counsel you might hear from a Darnell weed. Number one, you don't need to forgive that. Do you understand what that lie alone can do to you? Jesus told us plainly in Matthew 18 that if we refuse to forgive someone from our hearts, we are handed over to the tormentors. And I will tell you now, the tormentors are just demonic forces who get full rights to bring anxiety, bitterness, and strife in your life. And that's what they'll do. And all of those things are harmful, as you know, to your body. Lie number two: God wants you to be healthy and wealthy. Now, why would God want us wealthy when Jesus clearly stated it's nearly impossible for a wealthy person to enter the kingdom of God? And as far as health goes, how many countless people haven't come to faith, saving faith in Jesus Christ, through a sickness? Lie number three: being good is good enough to get you into heaven. Nothing could be further from the truth or more damning. For it takes the onus of our salvation off of Jesus Christ and puts it on ourselves, doesn't it? And God has already stated that no one is good on their own. Not even one, he said. Line number four: God never disciplines anyone. Well, then God doesn't love anyone, because Scripture clearly states that the Lord disciplines those he loves and he punishes those he accepts as a son. Line number five: God wants you to be happy. Talk about a license to sin. Well, yeah, I can do that. I can leave my wife for another woman because God wants me to be happy. And I'm just not happy where I'm at. God's desire is for us to have joy in him. And he wants us to be holy. Line number six: Jesus is one way to God, but there are many others as well. Well, then you've just called Jesus a liar, because he clearly said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. If there are other ways to God, then Jesus suffered and died for nothing. Didn't need him. There are other ways. And he doesn't get any more glory than anyone else. Yet God told us clearly that he would glorify his Son and that he would not share his glory with another. See, these are really just lies from Satan himself, using false believers as conduit. And when you fall for his lies, you will end up poisoned spiritually, which will have a detrimental effect in every area of your life. The only way to avoid these traps is to know the Word of God. As David said in Psalm 119, verse 9, how can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. There's a key word in there, and it's living. How do we keep our way pure? By living according to the Word of God. Not by merely reading the Word of God. Not even necessarily by understanding the Word of God. For it's possible to understand it well and not live it. Happens all the time. But we only can have healing by putting it into practice. It's the only way that we can make our way pure. Even Satan knows the word of God and understands it. So be on your guard when receiving advice or admonition. If it's in contradiction to the word of God, disregard it, which is exactly what Jesus did when tempted by the devil in the wilderness. He realized that Satan, if you know the story, he was taking isolated scripture verses and using them for his vain purposes. Jesus knew that Satan was using scripture out of context and not aligning it with the whole counsel of God, and so he disregarded it. In fact, he refuted it with other scripture passages because Jesus knew the word well. He should. He was the word. We'd be wise to do the same, lest we get poisoned to the core. The third and last thing about darnel, it doesn't reveal its true identity until it's fully grown. Only then can you see that it actually bears no fruit. Discerning true and false believers takes time. How many times haven't you been sure someone was a true follower of God, only to find out later that they really weren't? Examples of these folks could be Bart Campolo. You ever heard of him? Tony Campolo's son? How about Michael Gunger? You ever heard of Michael Gunger? He's a former singer. He used to be the worship leader at Res Life a long time ago. Or Joshua Harris. Anyone heard of Joshua Harris? All three of these guys were leaders in the Christian community, and all three of them have come out and said, it's not real. It's not real. Jesus isn't real. He's not the Son of God. I don't follow him. Jesus was referring to people like this in Matthew 7 when he said this, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. We may be surprised someday when it is revealed that people that we thought were wheat were actually darnel. But the same is true conversely. People we may think are unbelievers or not followers of Christ actually turn out they might be real followers of God. So we need to be not so quick to write someone off as a phony. Sometimes we can be so quick to jump to conclusions about people, allowing our preconditions about a matter or our biases to just dismiss them without making an honest attempt to look at their hearts. Only get to know later than realize that we were wrong in that assumption and that we missed out on some of the blessings God wanted to pour into us through them. Plants don't produce fruit overnight. It takes a season for a tree to produce its fruit. And once it has, then only can we see what it's really all about. And only then can we make a rightful judgment. Say, Pastor, we're not supposed to judge others. Yeah, you are. You make judgments every day. Is that kid safe for my son to hang out with? Does that guy have the integrity to handle my finances? Am I going to let that young man date my daughter? You make judgments every day. And Scripture actually implores you to do so. When in John 7, 24, Jesus said this, stop judging by mere appearances and make a rightful judgment. When Jesus commanded us not to judge, lest we be judged in Matthew 7, he was referring to making premature judgments based upon appearances, which is exactly what we're talking about here today. Just like the darnel weed, it takes time to truly see the heart of a person. We'd be wise to remember that. Now, enough about darnel. Now, you can never say nobody told you about that. I want to talk about the good seed. The good seed is represented by wheat. Since the weeds Jesus is referring to here were the darnel, it only makes sense that the good seed he's alluding to would be darnel's lookalike, which is wheat. In fact, in verse 25, it actually confirms that that's what it is, wheat. Now, wheat was and still is the primary element in making bread. It was obviously a major staple in Israel. A good wheat crop meant a healthy food supply for the community. Now, I know some people have a hard time with wheat. They're gluten intolerant, right? How many struggle with that? But the truth is, it's interesting, it's all female. But the truth is, wheat is good for the body. It is packed full of vitamins and minerals. Whole wheat contains a variety of nutrients such as vitamin B3, B2, B1, folic acid, copper, calcium, phosphorus, zinc, fiber, and iron. It also contains vitamin E, vitamin B, mineral salts, copper, calcium, iodide, magnesium, zinc, potassium, and manganese. Furthermore, wheat has been proven to help with controlling obesity, improving the metabolism, preventing type 2 diabetes, reducing chronic inflammation, preventing gallstones, and preventing breast cancer. Now, my goal here is not to become the national spokesman of the American Wheat Producers Association, but just to point out that the good seed that Jesus is referring to here really is good, because that would speak to the people of that day. It was a blessing to society as a whole. Just as a bumper crop of wheat meant sustenance and prosperity of people of Jesus' day, so are true believers a boon to an entire community. And this is the analogy Jesus was making. This is because true believers bear much fruit. You say, well, what do you mean by fruit? Well, since true believers are possessed by the Holy Spirit, they bear the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. And out of that come humility, selflessness, and wisdom. And these are the things that bring life and prosperity to an entire organization. I don't care if it's a church, a family, a business, or a nation. But only by the fruit can you recognize the difference between darnel and wheat. It's the same with true and false believers, which is exactly what Jesus told us in Matthew 7:15. He said, "Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear good fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Thus, by their fruit you will recognize them." So if you come across someone who claims to be a believer in Jesus but is proud, boastful, angry, or in love with the world, you can be sure that in their current condition, that person is darnel. So what are you supposed to do about that? Just run away and leave them as they are? Say, oh well, glad I'm not like him. What if God had done that with you? What if a weedy person never took the time with you to share the truth of the gospel? Now, Jesus didn't give this parable to explain the born-again process, but rather to show why God lets good and evil exist together in this world. But one could make the argument that we are all born as darnel. For Scripture clearly says that we are all born into sin, and no one is righteous. Everyone has gone their own way. And it's only been through the grace of God that His righteousness was exchanged for our unrighteousness at the cross. And we, through faith, have been reborn into wheat, which is truly a miracle. So now, does God want us just to run and hide in our transformed state and let the unregenerate around us continue on in their path to destruction? We know the answer to that. 1,000 times no. If he wanted that, he wouldn't have told us to go and make disciples. We, as wheat, have been given knowledge to see the eternal destruction of the darnel. And God lets us to grow together so that we may share the truth with them. That we were as they are. But they too can be forgiven and transformed through a relationship with Jesus Christ. We're no better than them. This is why God had the angels hold off, lest they uproot the darnel. Because God wants everyone to be saved. So that should be our all-consuming desire as well. 1 John says, if you claim to be in Christ, you must walk as Jesus did. Because the parable is clear that the final place of the darnel is the fire. This, of course, is alluding to hell. This should do two things to us. One, it should make us examine ourselves. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says this, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? Unless, of course, you fail the test. Oh, that's a test I'm interested in knowing about. What's the test? The test is, are you bearing the fruit of the Spirit? Scripture says that when we are saved, we receive the Holy Spirit as a deposit guaranteeing our salvation. So if we are saved, we have the Holy Spirit inside of us and thus will bear his fruit. So if your life is full of hatred, fear, impatience, bitterness, and harshness, whose fruit are you bearing? Certainly not the Holy Spirit's. So if that's you, what do you need to do? Repent. Change your ways. Stop living by your thoughts and your feelings and start living by the Word of God. 1 John 1:9 says, if we repent, he will forgive us from all unrighteousness. Acts 3 says that times of refreshing will come from the Lord. You don't have to live in the darkness any longer. Jesus has purchased your victory over sin and death. You but merely need to come to him and have life. The second thing that knowing the final place of the darnel should do is give us a single-minded focus to see unbelievers saved. So much so that it is the underlying desire of everything that we do. Why do you go to work? Well, I go to work to provide sustenance for my family, but also that I might be a light to those at my job and have something to share with those in need so that I may build up the kingdom of God. Why do you do the hobbies that you do? Oh, I do them because I enjoy them. But they also give me an opportunity to witness to others who enjoy the same thing so that I might build up the kingdom of God. Why do you study the Bible? Well, I study the Bible so that I may know how to walk rightly with God, but also so that I might have wisdom to help others find him and thus build up the kingdom of God. This is why 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. That is the mindset of wheat. It is grateful that it is no longer darnel, and it wants to see everyone else transformed as well. It realizes that its primary purpose for existing is to bear fruit for the glory of God. Is that your heart cry? To align your life with the Word of God and strongly desire that everyone be saved. Because if it's not, we can't say that we have the mind of Christ, who gave his life so that salvation would be available to all. But we can only have that mindset, quite honestly, if we're filled with the Holy Spirit. But we got good news about that. Luke 11, Jesus clearly told us that his Father longs to give the Holy Spirit to everyone who wants it, to all who ask. It only takes repentance and forgiveness. Now, I say only. But truth is, humbling ourselves to realize our sins is one of the most difficult things in the world. We have this thing called pride, and it gets in the way. But we must repent of our sins against God, and we must forgive the sins of those who have sinned against us. And when we do these things in the spirit of humility, pure gold before God, and he will plant good seed in that person who comes to him in that way, and that will produce a crop 30, 60, 100 times that which is sown.